Good morning. Can we say buenos dias to our brothers and say buenos dias? Can you say, pueden decir good morning to them? There you go. Good. How wonderful. Wow, to see this nice group this morning. Let's see. I think we're good. We just returned back from Spain after being gone for a couple of years. We left from Fairhaven, the Bay Area, February 15th of 2020. And shortly after arriving in Spain, quarantined and all that. It's actually been an amazing time. God has been faithful. And over these last few years, we've been learning things, just kind of experimenting with different things, and really going back to the Word of God and learning some things. And I'd like to share with you some of these truths that we've been learning in the Word of God, and especially as missionaries. There's a community of us that meet in different parts of the world. And these passages I'll share with you this morning are especially very helpful to us. What's amazing is what Arnie shared in the testimony. Who was the first one? That God said, was it Javier? ¿Quién fue el primero que comenzó la cadena? Who was the first one to start the chain? ¿Cómo es? Wilmer. Okay, so it started with Wilmer, and he said he called it a chain reaction. Actually, that's what my message is about today, okay? This is what we're... If you stop and think about your own life and things that have happened at Fairhaven, you'll see that this happens every once in a while. It started with the deaf ministry. Years ago, there was a Filipino ministry, God using a person. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I just want to share some of these familiar passages. And these are passages that many of us have read. We're familiar with them, but we passed over them. I think a majority of us passed over them and kind of thought, well, that was for them, and it's not for now. So I'm going to pray. Let's pray again. And let's just ask for the Lord's help. Father, I just pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning. Speak through your word. I pray you'd help us to see how you see, that we would have more of your heart. And I pray that you would show us, remind us of those who you have put in each one of our lives who are hurting and need someone to show them your love and share the gospel with them. Guide our hearts, guide our thoughts. Our time is short, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher through your word. Pray these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so I'm just going to go through a few of these passages that we all know so well. But they spoke to me when I was a young man here at Fairhaven when we were going through the training. And they continue to speak to me. And as a missionary, you'll see that many of these passages, for us, these are the Lord's instructions for us. But I don't want to just share as, this is for missionaries on the mission field. We're all ambassadors for Christ, right? And we're all missionaries. The whole world is the field. So these exact same principles can apply to us. So let's look at them together. I actually love doing this kind of work or this kind of looking at these passages in small groups and let the group discover rather than have someone telling you what they say, because I can make an error. I can give you my opinion. I can be off, but it's better when there's a group, but we don't have that luxury this morning. You could do it another time. So we're just going to start with a few verses. Matthew 9:35 says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole passage. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray that God would bless his word to us this morning. And let's just go back. Just a few thoughts. I'm just going to hit a few principles, a few just thoughts from each of these passages. The first thing is that it says Jesus went about all the cities and villages. We see that Jesus was a man, or he was God, but he had a man with a big vision. His vision was trying to reach all the towns and all the villages in that area that he was working at. That really speaks to us because where I live in Spain, I live right outside the first Guadalajara, where Guadalajara started, and a guy from Guadalajara went to Mexico and started the city of Guadalajara. I live about 10 kilometers from there. But there's towns all around us. And the small team that I'm a part of, the area we're trying to reach is called La Campiña. And it's an area of 40 towns. 40 towns. Some of them are bigger. Some have 35,000. But many of them are like 1,500, 500, 2,000. And none of these churches, well, I mean, they have Catholic churches there. And the Lord knows those who are his. But there are no believers and very few, myself and another missionary that I know of that worked there. And that missionary is actually returning. But I'm the only missionary that I know of that's in this area and seeking to reach that area. So when it says Jesus went about to all the cities, that really speaks to my heart. So we ask ourselves this question. We say to ourselves, what is it going to take to reach all these cities and small towns? The questions we have to ask are totally different. Most people are asking, how do I grow a church? How do I start a church? The answers to that question are very different. We're saying, what needs to be done to reach all these towns? It's not just like, what can I do? Because you can't do it by yourself. I can't do it. But what needs to be done? And the answers to those questions help us come up with a strategy. But the verses we're looking at this morning help us with this strategy. The next thing we see in the first verse that I love says that he went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness. Missionaries all over the world, and this is something we can do right here in ourselves, we have to be balanced in the way we go about the Lord's ministry. Many of us are like, our goal is, let's just get the gospel in them. We meet anybody, we just get the gospel in them. And I agree with that. Or the other extreme is, let's just serve the people and help them with their needs. But the truth is, it's in the middle. We want to be doing both things. Loving your neighbor as yourself, serving them, loving the people around you who are suffering, and at the same time, sharing the gospel with them in an appropriate way, in the Lord's timing. So we want to have that balance. So we see that Jesus ministered to their pain points. He was healing every sickness and every disease, but he also preached the good news of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom. The next verse, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Says that when Jesus saw the multitude, he was observant. He looked around him. I think there's a tendency, especially nowadays with COVID, many of us have really drawn into our little worlds, our little houses, our homes. Probably many of us have gotten bigger TV sets, or whatever and whatever. But we've really kind of come in, closed in. But Jesus kept his eye also. He saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion for them because he saw that they were weary, they were scattered. And when I read these verses, the word just fatigued. I don't know if there's that word COVID fatigue, but I remember in Spain, there was just like, felt like a tiredness about me, a sadness. I felt sad. I couldn't really put my finger on it. I was like, I'm sad, I feel tired, I feel fatigue. Even if I could go to church, maybe I wouldn't even go. I don't know. I didn't say that to myself. But so as we look around us, people are weary. People are suffering. It says that They're scattered. It seems like the world is being shaken right now. God is in control, okay? And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So let's remember, God is in control. But there's a lot of shaking going on. The world's governments are being shaken. Families are being shaken. Churches. I don't ever remember a time in my whole life that I was aware of so many people hurting. Even my own self, my own family. We have our hurts too. But many families, I think the majority of families, have some major serious pain point. Something is going on in their families, or they know of somebody who has something serious going on. It could be health, finances. So this is the world we're living in. And we need to think, what are we going to do? Now, this is the verse that has always spoken to me, and it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. Jesus can't lie. The harvest is truly, truly plentiful. But the laborers are few. There's a great harvest out there. The problem is very few are looking at it. Very few are observant. Very few are moved with compassion. There are very few who are engaging the lost. There are very few who are really intentionally trying to love their neighbor as themselves. That's the problem. Jesus said that. It's the same problem today as it was back then. But there is a harvest. There are souls out there that are hurting. But there's a lack of people, children of God, intentionally living their lives daily to find these people. Seek, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Sometimes, well, that was just for Jesus. No, we're also called to seek, save the lost. Then he gives us the first solution, what is the starting point? So this is the situation. The harvest is plentiful. People are suffering. They don't know how to get to heaven. They don't know how to live. What is the first solution? It says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is where it starts. The first step in solving this problem is pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more people, to raise up more people to go out into the harvest. And this isn't a call for missions today. I'm not giving a message about missions. I'm talking about San Leandro, Castro, Oakland. I'm just talking about this area, what's out there on the outside. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up or send out laborers into his harvest. This is a command. Remember in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he said, go make disciples and teach them to obey all I commanded you. Well, this is an example of one of Jesus' commands. It's not just get baptized or remember me in the breaking. We have a list of 50 commands, and I'm sure there's more than that. 50 commands of Christ. You know, love one another, take my cross, follow me. These are commands, but this is one of the commands, to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up laborers for the harvest. This is his prayer request he gave us. And I don't understand it, but somehow his hands aren't tied, but in a way he moves in response to us asking and calling out to him. And by praying to the Lord, we're demonstrating our total dependence on him to provide more workers for the situation, for the harvest. The Lord impressed these verses on my wife, and I think we were talking about these things 2 years ago and last 5 years. We just really have come back to these basics. And my wife and I, during COVID, we live in a fairly small town of about 1,500, but I said there's towns around us, and we were able, once we got out of quarantine, we spent more time just going out in prayer walking together or separate. I loved it when I'm going out. I say, it's raining. Well, she's going out raining. It's raining. But she's just walking through the streets of our town, and we're by ourselves in this town, and we're gringos, right? We're gringos. And we're the outsiders, and we need to find people who are more culturally closer, especially Spaniards, to reach the Spaniards. We need Spaniards, and we need Latin Americans, because there's a lot of immigrants in Spain now. So we need people who are culturally closer to the people we're trying to reach. My wife and I feel, you know, very much like outsiders, but we're making relationships and all that, but we would just walk through the streets, and we would go to the surrounding towns and just walk through the streets and prayer walk and said, Lord, raise up workers for the harvest in this town. Raise up workers for the harvest in this town, in Chiloeches. There's thousands of towns in Spain without any workers. Someone told me 7,000 towns. That sounds a little bit high to me, but there are thousands of towns with no workers. And we're in this little town, and we have the privilege of being there. And we're just asking the Lord. And we're on walk the trails on good days and just overlooking our little town and saying, Lord, would you send forth, could you raise up workers to work in this town? Would you raise up more workers to work in this whole area? We can't do it on ourselves. What's it going to take? It's going to start off with prayer. Start praying. And the amazing thing was when God started to answer. That was the amazing thing. As of last summer, this is 2020, we're in the middle. God told us, hey, there's this new couple in the town. They're out at the local park. Remember, we live in a small town. They're in the local park at night, and they're playing their guitar and singing songs, and the young people are following them, and they're out at 12 at night, or past 12. I said, who? What are you talking about? Yeah, they're Christians. There's one of my neighbors. They say they're like you guys. They're Christians. So Ken and I go to the park late in the afternoon. Who are these people? We met Hector and Yomaira from Venezuela. They had come a year earlier to work with a basketball camp for kids, and the whole thing fell apart as a result of COVID. They came totally trusting the Lord. They're from a Baptist background. They've been involved in church plants and things like that in Venezuela, very well trained, very enthusiastic. And we started meeting with them and just kind of sharing our vision. Say, listen, I don't want to be your boss or anything, but they just said, you know, we didn't know where to go. And we were praying God sent us. They were living closer to Madrid. And they said, oh, the cheapest rents are in a town called Chiloeches. That's where the cheaper rents are. And so next thing, they rent an apartment in Chiloeches. Well, those apartments, I used to always drive by them as I'd enter the town and say, Lord, someday, could you do something in those apartments? Could you start something in those apartments, Lord? That's like the most fruitful looking section of our town. The area else looks so affluent. But in that town, there's Moroccans and foreigners and all kinds of people there. Could you do something there? But that was just a prayer. It turns out that they said that was where that apartment was. That's where they rented the apartment. And we started meeting and going out to the park. It was just amazing, their love for the Lord and their enthusiasm. You know, we're feeling our age a little bit, and all of a sudden you have this younger couple with you. He's probably about 40, she's in her 30s. But they would go out to the parks and stay every night playing with the kids. They had two kids, but they would play in their guitar. I have a picture, but I didn't find it, of him playing the guitar and young people following him. It's just amazing. It was so cool. Well, then an older family in their apartment complex, in their stairwell, came down with COVID, a Spanish family on the bottom floor, and they were at the top floors, like three floors. And Hector told the family, there's an older couple in their 80s. They said, you know, everyone was afraid. COVID was starting. It was one of the first cases of COVID in our town. Who went to say, what do you need? And so Hector started going there, and knocking, said, how can I help you? They would slip their list of what groceries to get, what medicines they need. And he said, what else? Can you take our garbage out? And he just started serving that family, wearing his mask, and just being careful. But, well, as a result of that Spanish family, they started telling everybody about Hector and Yomaira and about them. Then an older man named Damian got sick. This was like just 2 or 3 months ago, and he was the aguacil del pueblo. He was the man who used to be, he was in his 90s, Damian, who used to go and get on the street corners and blow a bugle So all the neighbors, everybody would come out and he'd give the announcements. You got to pay your water bill on this day. You got to go down to the city hall. There's going to be a bullfight this day. There's going to be, you know, all the announcements. And then he'd go to another, he'd just go to corner in the whole city. And so everybody knew him and waiting. Whenever he would blow his bugle, they'd come out. Well, this man, Yomaida offered to start taking care of him in these last couple of months of his life. He just passed away, but she just started taking care of him. And Damian, I'd see him in the streets. He says, I just love Maida, he'd call her. I love Maida. She's taking care of me and helps me do things, gets me going in the day because his wife was in the hospital. So through that, that man made a profession of faith before he died and prayed with her to receive Christ. And when they went to the funeral, all the family were hugging her and telling everybody how much love she had shown to her dad. See, this is that love and the gospel. Serving and sharing the word. We don't want to just overlook that. We don't go to either extreme. So I could go on and on. They continued to meet week, but we kept praying. Remember I said we were praying for Spaniards? Well, then, out of the blue, we get a call last year, 2020. Victor Neva Casero, he said, this brother has been a leader in a church in another town. He said, Grant, or Esteban, they call me Esteban there, can we talk? I said, hey, we're on quarantine. I don't think we're allowed to go into houses with each other. He said, just please come over, just with my wife and my, you know, we need to talk to you. And we went over there, we were crying. They were telling us some of the problems they had gone through. And we just said, what can we do? And they said, just know you're over there close by. Just know that. I mean, just we know that you're with us and you're close by. I said, okay, we'll be praying for you guys. We started meeting with them. After a month, they they asked if we could start meeting over Zoom. We started meeting them, training them. She's one of those like Aquila and Priscilla types. The wife is almost more gifted than the husband. She immediately started taking the what we're teaching her and started a Zoom meeting with 26 Spanish women from all over Spain and doing discovery and teaching them how to reach their friends as well. She continues doing that. She has podcasts. But we've become close with Victor and Ava and their co-workers with us as well. And so God has done that. Answers to prayer. And I've got one more guy I'll share, but I want to first go through these verses and share the best for last. There's still one. It's just an amazing story. Only God can do it. And all these people I'm talking about, not all of them. Let's just go on. I don't have a whole lot of time. I want to let you out of here by 1:30. So the passages we looked at, it speaks to us of having a large vision. Jesus gave the disciples a large vision. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. He just cast vision to them. You 12 guys, and some of them are still doubting, if you look at verse 16. I want you to go out and reach 200 million people, because that was the population more or less at that time. Jesus would cast big vision. Go make disciples of all nations, which is 200 million people, and those guys are 12 guys. Well, now we see Jesus wanting to go to all the cities. So this is something on missionaries. So how do we reach this whole area? What are the answers to that? Well, we start with prayer. We need to raise up more workers. Let's read through Luke 10. I have bad news for you because it said Luke 10, 1 through 2. It's really 1 through 12. Okay, so we're going to read this. And I'd really like to do these things in a group where you discover it together. And each one pulls out the principles for themselves. This is very interesting. We're going to read Luke 10, 1 through 12. And I looked at Bill McDonald's commentary about this section. And he said, while the ministry and office of the seven, that's 70, that's what we're going to read about, the 70. In Luke 9, he sends out the 12. In Luke 10, now there's 70. So this is a quote from Bill McDonald. While the ministry and office of the 70 was only temporary, nevertheless, our Lord's instructions to these men suggest many life principles which apply to Christians in every age. These life principles that apply to Christians in every age. And that's what I want to look at. Let's find the principles or these patterns. There's no recipe here. There's no prescription. There's no exact thing, the way to do it. But there's these guiding principles. And if you compare list of when he sends out the 12 and the 70, very similar. You have it Matthew 10, Mark 6. You have it Luke 9 and Luke 10. He's the same similar patterns. So let's just read these verses. And as we're reading, I want to keep in mind a few questions. So did Jesus have a general pattern for reaching new areas or for reaching out? What did he tell them to do and not to do? Who were they to look for? And how would they know when they found the person or persons? And what were they to do once they found the person? So this passage deals with these things, these issues. So let's just read this. Would it be possible for someone to read that real loud? Because my voice, I'm losing my voice here.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bags, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what they set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we will wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town."
In verse 16, I can read it. "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Okay, we have just a few minutes, but I want to go over this. There's some very important principles in these verses. First of all, we have the Lord appointing 70. And I love this because you see Jesus' strategy. He's trying to reach all the towns. And he's asking the disciples, the 12, pray that the Lord would raise up more disciples, raise up more harvesters, more workers, more laborers for the harvest. Now, here's the answer to prayer. Now there's 70. They had six teams. Now there are 35 teams of two. He's doing it. He's modeling for us. He's showing about raising up workers, praying for workers, praying. And I'm not talking about workers as missionaries. I'm just saying every one of us just kind of engaging the lost, right? And so they're seeing the Lord answer their prayer. But he's not even satisfied with seven. He says, "And keep praying for more workers for the harvest." He just wants this number to multiply and keep growing. So it wasn't like he was finished with 70 and that was a magic number. The other thing that's very important is to work in a team. They were a large team, but they also worked two by twos. It's very encouraging. It doesn't say why he sent them out two by two. We just kind of have to read into it. But we, just for a good testimony's sake, it's better to go with somebody, not just be by yourself. There's protection. There's encouragement. There's complement of giftings. So we see that. He sent them out two by two. And I love this phrase, "before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." I'm not sure I understand that. But he was like sending out these teams, and then he was going to visit them later on. I kind of like to spiritualize and say, hey, wherever Jesus sends me, he's going to show up. He's coming behind me, and he's going to show up. I'm probably reading into it, though. But just the idea of he followed it up. He went right behind them. Then he said, the harvest is truly great. We've already gone through this verse. But the laborers are few. Go your way. Behold, I send you out. I send you out as lambs among wolves. It's interesting. I send you out. As we go through these verses, notice how many times it says, he sent them. I send you. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers into the harvest. That word sent, it just keeps coming up. And so it's Jesus who sends you. He decides where you should go. And that I send you out, it might just be your next door neighbor. It might be your family. It might be some coworkers. But it's, do you have a sense? Have you, Lord, where are you sending me? What is the people you want me to reach? And that's one thing I've been praying, that the Lord would lay on your hearts, each one of us, because all of us are in different circles of people. Who is it the Lord is sending you to? And he's saying that I send you out as lambs among wolves. It could be dangerous. He decides where he sends us. I think of the homeless ministry, those who are going out to the homeless. It's not like super dangerous, but it's also not just a walk in the park. And we should pray for them, for protection, for encouragement, that they could, keep at it. I work with missionaries who work with Muslims in Granada, Spain. And especially if you hear the testimonies from North Africa, missionaries who are willing to put their lives on the line, they're willing to. I don't have that kind of faith or that obedience. But the Lord is saying, I send you where I want to send you, and it could be dangerous. And then he said that they were to not carry anything with them. They were to trust the Lord's provision for his work. They were on his mission. And they were, it says, and greet no one along the road. Stay focused. Stay focused. And this is the section that applies to what happened with Wilmer and his friends and family. This is where I see the correlation. We'll read this again. Whatever house you enter, now remember, he's sending them out, two by twos, be praying, go where I send you, it could be dangerous, don't carry anything with you. And who were they supposed to, and don't get sidetracked. You're on a mission. And who were they to look for? To me, this is very key, and you can reread this passage and see if it says this. But they were to be looking for somebody. They're looking for someone who God has, or it doesn't say that God has prepared their heart. But it says, and whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. And if not, it will return to you. So they were to look for a son of peace or a daughter of peace. You know, think of Lydia in the book of Acts. But they were looking and going house to house, or they were looking for this person who would receive them, would welcome them, would greet. They would greet them with peace, and they would say, yeah, hey, peace to you too. And welcome them into the house. Receive them into their family to influence the family. And it says, he goes on to say, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. When you have found this son of peace, focus. Stay there. Try to reach his household, his whole family, his friends. The Greek word is oikos. It's your friends, family, neighbor, it's those in your circle. This is the way the gospel travels, over relationships. We heard it this morning, the chain effect. Just one neighbor, one friend, one that just kept going. That is the way the gospel travels. So one of the key principles for us, and I think I'll go ahead and have to stop here because it's already 12:15, but is we're looking, we're praying as we go out, asking God to raise up workers, but we're also saying, God, could you please connect us with the people you have prepared that will receive us? Bill McDonald says in his commentary, this is his commentary on verses 5 and 6. They should accept hospitality wherever it is offered to them. If their initial greeting is favorably received, then the host is a son of peace. He is a man characterized by peace and the one who receives the message of peace. For us missionaries, this has been kind of revolutionary because we didn't know what we were shooting at or who are we looking for. We would just, we want to reach the whole world, of course, but we're especially looking for people who it seems that God is working in. It's the Son of Peace. You greet them and they greet you back. They're nice. They're not just nice. They also welcome you. They show you hospitality, but they also let you talk. They want you to influence. They want to start telling their friends and their family what they're learning from you. And when you find that type of person, you're to stay there. You're to focus on that family and not move on. This is a very key principle for us. And I think this is helpful for all of us that God, you can just pray that God would link you to, connect you to, put the person in front of you. Sometimes this son of peace or daughter of peace will find you. Think about many of your testimonies. I think of my own test. I don't have time to go through it. God put me in the life of another believer at just the right time, and he talked to me. I was the person of peace in that sense. And I just started sharing with my mother, my father, you know, everybody I could talk to in my family. So don't have time to go through the rest of these verses or talk about some other testimonies. But I hopefully that may God give you someone in your mind or thoughts right now. Is there anybody who's kind of open to me? I'll tell two testimonies real quick to show you how simple and real this is. The other day I was talking to Dan Holgate, and we were outside, and he said, yeah, I have a sister-in-law who called me about a month ago, I guess. I don't know. I know all the details. And she told me that she was out in Livermore, and she just went outside one night and just started praying and calling out to God. And he said, wow. Next day, he invited her to a church service, you know, to hear the gospel. But see that? And what if he said, oh, that's nice, and didn't say do any follow-up on that? Doug and Carmen. Doug, the other day in the deacon's meeting, said, Carmen gets a phone call out of the blue from a friend from her childhood saying, Carmen, you know, I don't know what they said, but can we study the Bible together? These people are out there. And I think that can end on that. For us to know, when Jesus sent out the 35 teams, he told them, look, do all these other things, but your target is the Son of Peace, because the Son of Peace opens up the door to the whole household. And then it just starts going. It's like the Samaritan woman. She was a woman of peace. She took it back to the town, and then the whole town came back out. We're looking for these people, the Levites, the Lydias, the Zacchaeus, the Cornelius, the Philippian jailers. We're looking for these people. We're praying for these people because they are the door to many more people. Jesus wasn't just looking for individuals. He was looking for all the people he could reach through them. So, Lord, I want to just thank you for this time with our dear brothers and sisters from Fairhaven, and also from the Iglesia Evangelica, the Spanish Fellowship. And I pray, Father, that you would just put someone in our path this week. Thank you. That just gives us hope. These people are out there. You said the harvest is plentiful. You can't lie. And help us, Lord, this week, just like you came to seek and to save the lost, help us to be seeking and looking for these people who you're working in. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here who were attentive to people working in their lives, or that you were working in their lives, and they reached out to them. Even in my own family, there's people here in this congregation that have reached out to my family and helped right at the right time. Thank you for them, God. And help us to see as you see. Give us new eyes to see the harvest. These people are out there. Help us to find them, Lord, and reach out to them and serve them and love them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.